Amam Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4th, Chapter 31, Text Number 13. This chapter is entitled as Narada Instructs the Prachetas. Shreyasa Sarvesha Atmahi Avadhir Artataha Sarveshamapi Bhutana Hariratmatmadaha Priyaha Shreyasamapi Sarvesha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Factually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of all self-realization. Consequently, the goal of all auspicious activities, karma, jnana, yoga and bhakti, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The living entity is the marginal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the material world is the external energy. Under these circumstances, one must understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is factually the original source of both matter and spirit. This is explained in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhumir api nalo vayu kham mano buddhi revacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakriti rastada apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam mahabhavu yayedam dharete jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. Besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which consists of all living entities who are struggling with the material nature and are sustaining the universe. The entire cosmic manifestation is but a combination of matter and spirit. The spiritual part is the living entity. And these living entities are described as prakriti or energy. The living entity is never described as purusha, the supreme person. Therefore, to identify the living entity with the supreme lord is simply ignorance. The living entity is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord, although there is factually no difference between the energy and the energetic. The duty of the living entity is to understand his real identity. When he does, Krishna gives him all the facilities to come to the platform of devotional service. That is the perfection of life. This is indicated in the Vedic Upanishad. Yam evaisya vranute tena labhyas tasais atma vivaranute tanum swam. Lord Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam enamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Bhagavad Gita 10.10. The conclusion is that one must come to the platform of Bhakti Yoga. Even though one may begin with Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, unless one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, self-realization or realization of the Absolute Truth cannot be achieved. Om Ajnana Timira. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing since few days about Narad Muni's instruction to Prachetas. Because as Prachetas mentioned out of their humility, as if they diverted from their goal. So therefore, Narad Muni very systematically and very clearly explains the principle of devotional service, what is the goal of life, without compromising. And we were discussing in our previous classes how when the goal is there, But still, the detail which leads to that goal, even if there is compromisation with that detail, there is always a risk of not reaching our original goal. So therefore, Narad Muni makes it very clear here, what is the goal of all other process. It is not that Karma Yoga, Astanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, they are deviant path. They are also leading to the same goal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they are not as direct as the goal of devotional service. In the path of devotional service, there is no difference between the goal and the process. It is one and the same. Therefore, there is no risk involved. In the path of devotional service, when somebody engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not that he is expecting for some goal. He is already situated in that goal. Either one is practicing sadhana bhakti or one is practicing raganuga bhakti. There is no difference. Why? Because the activities of sadhaka and the activities of raganuga bhakta, they are the same activities. The difference is in the intensity of their devotion. It is natural for the raganuga bhakta or the ragatmika bhakta, and it is regulated and forced to sadhaka. But the goal, the activities are the same. But in other process, the process of karma, astanga and jnana yoga, the process is there and they have to attain some goal. Therefore, between that gap, the process and the goal, one can be diverted. Therefore, Narad Muni is talking that in the next verse he is going to speak very important verse. That is that when we water the root of the tree, then all other parts are nourished. Therefore, just from very beginning, catch the goal. If the goal is not properly ascertained, then what happens? Then other goals stand up. We see in the same purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna guides the living entity. Those who are constantly remembering Him, Tesham Satata Yuktanam. Yuktanam means they are already situated. There is a connection between the Lord and His devotees. And Krishna gives further knowledge so that He can become much advanced in devotional service. But sometime even after giving guidance by the Supreme Lord, some rebellious living entity is because they have some other goal. They cannot accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they have already decided, this is not my goal. My goal is something else. Even though on the platform of theory they may know Krishna is the supreme goal. Knowing theoretically and implementing on a practical level, there is a difference. Just like, again we take the example of Mahabharata. Two characteristics. One is Duryodhan and Karna. Duryodhan was morally weak. He was very selfish. His goal was very clear. His goal was that my own interest. And because that was his goal, he was willing to do anything and everything. So Krishna came to Duryodhan and he gave him the knowledge as he gave the knowledge to anybody else. With great intensity, Krishna speaking that how he should not do it the way he was doing. He should share everything with the Pandavas who are the great devotees. But because the goal was self-centered, that my goal is what? Sense gratification. Even after being instructed by Krishna about the goal of life, Duryodhan did not take it seriously. So therefore, he had to learn his lesson in a different way. His goal of being self-centered was so great, Even after he was battered, he was lying down on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You know, beaten by the heavy mace of Bhima, still he was thinking about his own self, myself, my family, and myself. So therefore he proposed something to Ashwatthama. When Ashwatthama came to meet him, Ashwatthama, Kripacharya, and others, when they came to meet him, Duryodhana was still thinking about my family and appointing my people as the king. Even though all of his brothers were dead, not even one of his son was surviving. But he proposed this to Ashwatthama. He said, "My dear Ashwatthama, even though I am going to die, anytime I will be dead, but still my wife is surviving. So why not procreate through my wife and you be victorious on this battle and eventually you can appoint the issue which is raised by the combination between you and my wife. He can become the king." Just see how much he was infatuated by the goal of self-centeredness. Even though he was about to be killed, he was not willing to divert from his goal. Even though on a theory platform, Duryodhana knew. Therefore, when Krishna had attacked the Kauravas, Balaram and Krishna, when they attacked the Kauravas, that time it is explained, after that battle was over, Duryodhana met the Lord. He said, "My dear Krishna, I know that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But what can be done? Aham yantra, tvam yantri." He said, "I know you are the operator and I am the instrument. Therefore, I am being operated as you are operating me. So, if something wrong going on with me, janami dharmam, nachame nivritti." He said, "I know what is dharma, but I cannot give up adharma. Janami dharmam, nachame nivritti. I know what is adharma, but I cannot give up. I know dharma, but I cannot accept it. Therefore, do not blame me. I am just doing as you are directing me." So, he knew the philosophy very well. But because his goal was very clear, "My goal is to enjoy my sense gratification, appoint my children as the sole heir for the Hastinapur." That was the goal of the father Dhritarashtra. That was also goal of the Duryodhan. Therefore, even though Krishna spoke to him, not one time, many times Krishna spoke. But still Duryodhan was not willing to accept. He did not change his minimal or his small goal. And therefore he forgot the ultimate goal. Similarly, we see Karna. Now in India, everybody knows that Karna is, you know, given such a high position because of his so-called morality. He was very charitable. He was willing to lay down his life for the sake of friendship towards Duryodhana. So when Krishna came as a messenger to Hastinapur, you know, very carefully he separately met Karna. And he spoke to him everything, that if you accept, that I will arrange that you will become the king of Hastinapur. What to speak of, simply making Duryodhana king, you can be the king. And Yudhishthira Maharaj and other Pandavas will wave chamaras to you. Just accept this proposal. Why? Because you are the eldest brother of the Pandavas. And Yudhishthira Maharaj will not mind giving his position to you. But what was the goal of Karna? The goal of Karna was not to please Krishna. Rather, his goal was to maintain the friendship. He said, "No, I cannot accept this. I cannot betray Duryodhana. He has done so much for me in my difficulties. So how can at this point of time I give up my friendship to Duryodhana?" He says, "I know, I see all inauspiciousness that death is guaranteed for us. Death is guaranteed for anybody who follows Duryodhana.
But he said, my dear Lord, I cannot. Because my goal is very clear. My goal is what? Not to betray Duryodhan. So even though I know it, but I cannot follow your instructions. So Krishna even tried to emotionally make him weak. He was successful in doing that. But he wanted to make him so emotionally weak so that he can come and side the Pandavas. But he was not willing. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is the scripture. It will always talk very carefully at all times in every page about maintaining our goal. What is the goal? Goal is to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And whatever it takes to attain Krishna, we are willing to compromise. Not compromise, we are willing to give up. Otherwise in the material world, this risk is so great, even if there is a temporary goal. Srila Prabhupada explained, even if you are attached to a small gulab jamun, you have to come back to this world. What is that goal? Just to eat some gulab jamun. It is very insignificant. But at some point of time, if there is a clash between the original goal and this small insignificant goal, it may lead us to take one more birth. Even though it is very small. And that's what Dhruva Maharaj was regretting. When he came to know that the goal is Krishna, and he regretted that I was asking for something which is not tangible, which is not substantial, which is not real. And Krishna forced him, okay, you have to accept it because you wanted it. He started regretting. One may have the confusion about the goal, but that is better than fixed about wrong goals, as Karna and Duryodhan. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita we read the story of Tapan Mishra. He was confused about the goal. He was very sincere to know the real goal of life. So therefore he was studying so many scriptures. He studied all the scriptures, but still he was not able to ascertain what is the goal of life. That is a better position. It is explained that most people who came to Krishna consciousness, when Prabhupada preached to them, almost everyone, especially the Western crowd, which they came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, what was their problem? They had no goal. They were already frustrated with sense gratification, and they had no goal about the spirituality. Because they had no goal, when Prabhupada came to them, it became very easy for them to accept the goal what Prabhupada was offering. They very easily accepted. But we see those moralist philosophers in India, they knew the scriptures. So whenever Prabhupada presented them the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, they were not willing to accept. Either they are becoming too materialistic, they are making it very clear our goal is to go to the West, make good money. So Krishna consciousness is a luxury item, why should I accept? And those who are following the path of spirituality, their goal was very clear. What was their goal? Their goal was that God is impersonal. One becomes God eventually after perfecting their life. So therefore even they could not accept the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So if you are confused material and spiritually and you are willing to hear from a higher source, then it becomes much easier, even though the conditioning background was very strong. But they could accept Krishna and practice devotional service with all of their conditioning. On the other hand, even though conditioning was not strong, following four regulative principles was easy. Even those who are pursuing the path of materialism or those who are pursuing the path of spirituality in India. Why they did not accept Prabhupada's philosophy? Because the goal was clear. The wrong goal was very clear. Therefore, to accept the real goal became very difficult. Therefore, Srila Madhvacharya explains, Hridayananda Maharaj quotes in one of the Bhagavatam commentaries. He says, when the identification, when somebody identifies himself, when he is absorbed with that identification leads to some kind of reaction. And one falls into this vicious cycle. to get out of that identification and the reaction of that identification is not so easy. Either we are identifying ourselves with the body, we are identifying ourselves with the mind, identifying ourselves with the life air, identifying with our intelligence, and because of this identification there is a reaction. And because of that reaction, the ignorance becomes quite deep. And when the ignorance is very deep, to come to our constitutional nature, in fact, Srila Prabhupada explains, devotional service means what? Practicing devotional service means gradually coming to our constitutional nature. What is our constitutional nature? Our constitutional nature is that we are eternally servant of Krishna. When Sanatan Goswami raised this question, who am I? Immediately Lord Chaitanya said, you are eternally servant of Krishna. So as long as the identification is there, to come to this constitutional nature is not very easy. There is always a clash. It is very difficult. So when the covering, when the ignorance is taken out by the power of the mercy of a great devotee, then even with our ignorance background, we can engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, slowly it destroys all the identification. As Madhvacharya explains, that when one identifies himself as this material body, what is the consequences? He undergoes miseries. Immediately when somebody identifies himself as the body, there is a misery. Misery is what? It's a relative thing. Based upon, you know, identifying with my body to somebody else's body. Immediately we experience misery, that my body is better, so that we experience some kind of pleasure. But when I compare with somebody else's body, his body is better than my body, then there is a misery. So identification with the material body leads to misery, constant drowsiness, and unquenchable lusty desires burns all mental peace. We can see that when we identify with this material body, there is constant misery, there is suffering, unlimited suffering because of identification with this material body. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna was, before he heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, just because he was identifying himself with this material body and in relationship with the material body, immediately he could experience dryness of the tongue. He became weak. In fact, he could not stand, he could not hold his Gandiva bow. You know, he fell down inside the chariot. And what was the knowledge Krishna gave? He said, you are not this body, you are spirit soul. Because Arjuna was identifying himself with the material body. Therefore, there was misery and suffering. And he explains that one who identifies himself with the prana, life air, we see that people, they try to perform different kinds of exercise, trying to control their breathing. And when they control their breathing, naturally they are freed from hunger. So Madhvacharya explains, one who identifies with the life air, he experiences great pain in the form of hunger. And when that hunger is there, how can you think about the higher goals? Therefore, we see when you do some kind of charitable activity in the form of giving food, just like this is a trick played by the devotees so that we can bring more and more people to practice devotional service. Otherwise, simply giving philosophy of Krishna consciousness, one time, one of the Gaudiya Math devotees were giving lectures in South India. And many people, they came to them, they said, what is this nonsense? What this lecture will do? You know, you should do some social service. Why not distribute free food? By distributing free food, you know, people will get benefit. Again, we see the goal is that if you have to do some social service, giving philosophy is useless because philosophy will not fill your belly. because the identification is there with the material body and the life air. And that devotee told them, why should I distribute food when people are standing in line to hear from me about the highest goal of life? Why should I waste my time in distributing food? And he gave the example. So just like when you are distributing food and one person runs away from here, will you chase him to give food or will you distribute food to so many people who are standing in the line? He said, you will not waste your time running after a person who is not willing to accept a food. You will distribute food who are already standing in the line. Similarly, he said, why should I waste my time distributing food when thousands of people are willing to hear about the highest goal of life? So because the goal was very clear, goal was not diverted to fulfilling the needs of the material body. And then Madhvacharya explains, one who identifies with the mind suffers from panic, fear, hankering, and which ends in disappointment. Because the nature of the mind is to accept and reject, sankalpa and vikalpa. And mental depression is the biggest disease of the 21st century. So naturally people, those who come to Krishna consciousness, they expect peace. Again, because they have identified themselves with the material body, mind is also material. So therefore they come with the intention of maintaining peace. But devotional service does not guarantee this. Devotional service guarantees transcendental anxiety. There is no mental peace. When somebody engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in fact, you know, asking, pure devotee does not suffer. Sometimes we see that there is always a conflict amongst devotees, that does pure devotee suffer? How can pure devotee suffer? Because it's transcendental. But pure devotee does suffer. Why does he suffer? Because he suffers seeing the miseries of other conditioned souls. As it is explained about Sanatana Goswami, what is his character? He is paradukkha dukkhi. He becomes unhappy by seeing others' unhappiness. Because pure devotee is living in relationship with the conditioned souls, their suffering becomes his suffering. Therefore, there is no mental peace. There is always anxiety. But that anxiety is spiritual. So if he avoids this anxiety, saying that, you know, it is hurting me, you know, it is not giving peace to my mind, then that is not devotional service. So therefore, when we come with this intention of making our mind peace, but if we don't change our goal, as we understand the process of Krishna consciousness, if you only remain with the intention of changing my own mind, then we will not be benefited so much by practice of devotional service. Because the goal is not devotional service, the goal is making our mind peaceful. Next principle, he explains intelligence. One who identifies himself as this intelligence, then he suffers profound existential bitterness and frustration deep within his heart. One who identifies with intelligence, you know, this kind of consequences takes place. So therefore, when the Shastras are read with the principle of understanding everything analytically, it is not possible. Engagement in Krishna's service gives the understanding of Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada explains here, Tesham Satata Yuktanam. When somebody is connected to Krishna, then all the understanding of the spiritual knowledge is naturally given. It is not that we receive it by our understanding, but it is given as a gift. Devotional service is what is the reward which is offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in the process of bhakti and other process, in the other process, only part is used. Just like in karma yoga, one's senses are used. And because the senses are used, there is naturally the results are there, and the results are offered to Krishna in Karma Yoga. He knows goal is Krishna, but he's attached to use his senses. And because when you do some activities, there is a result, and that result is offered to Krishna. In the process of Jnana Yoga, the faculty is the mind. One applies the mind, and then he offers it to Krishna. That means everything is not utilized. In the Ashtanga Yoga, the faculty is the intelligence. That means not everything is utilized in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the process of bhakti, what does it do? Everything is utilized in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It begins from the heart, it begins from the level of consciousness. All our senses, our intelligence, our mind. Therefore, Krishna explains to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that one who studies Bhagavad Gita, what does he do? He worships me with intelligence. But to worship Krishna with intelligence, one has to have the intensity or intentions like Arjuna. The intention of being a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then only study of Bhagavad Gita becomes worship of Krishna through intelligence. Otherwise, if you are not a devotee and simply study Bhagavad Gita, that is not the worship. Rather, such study of Bhagavad Gita will only lead to greater confusion. This can only be possible when you are already a devotee. Then your study of Bhagavad Gita is also serving Krishna through intelligence. And then he also explains false ego. What does false ego do? When the goal is, as recently one devotee was mentioning, Sridhar Prabhu was giving his talk, that if somebody is worshipping Krishna, but is identifying himself with his false ego, even though he is worshipping Krishna, dressing the Lord, he is actually decorating his false ego. One may be preaching, one may be worshipping the Lord, but because the false ego is involved, and because of that false ego, Krishna disappears. And false ego becomes very prominent. And because of this false ego, Madhvacharya explains, he feels inferiority, thinking that I am low. When we think we are low, then naturally we want the position that we want to be superiors. And there is a competition, even in the circle of devotional service. Therefore, Kapila Muni was explaining to Mother Devahuti different kinds of devotional service. Devotional service in Tamoguna, devotional service in Rajoguna, devotional service in Sattvaguna. Devotional service in Tamoguna involves what? That there is violence, there is anger, there is hatred. One knows that Krishna is the Supreme, but still, when he relates himself with others, other devotees, and because of the false ego is involved, he feels low and is always expecting a respect from others. And the example is given in the Bhagavatam in the 4th canto, Daksha Prajapati. He was a devotee of the Lord. But the problem is, when he came inside the arena of the fire sacrifice, he saw everybody respect him. Even Lord Brahma got up. The other Prajapatis got up. But Lord Shiva, because he was absorbed in the thoughts of the Supreme Lord, he did not get up. What is it? It is very insignificant that Lord Shiva did not get up. But it became so difficult for Daksha Prajapati to handle that Lord Shiva is not getting up. That shows that he accepted Lord Vishnu. In fact, the yajna was arranged by Daksha Prajapati and other higher living entities to please Lord Vishnu. That was the goal. But there was also another goal, the goal of receiving respect. And because of that, the whole yajna was spoiled. He started condemning Lord Shiva, saying that even though you are my son-in-law, so because you are son-in-law, it is natural for a son-in-law to respect father-in-law. Even though you are not qualified to receive my daughter, but still I gave you, But you are see, you are not respecting me. He started condemning Lord Shiva. So this false ego is so powerful, even as a devotee, Daksha Prajapati could not live a life of simplicity. And therefore he had to, you know, lose his head and get a goat's head. And again, because goat head was not so good, it was hurting his false ego, he gave up his material body and accepted another material body. Therefore, just see how false ego is very prominent. Even once one may know the goal is Vasudev, one may be doing the activities for Lord Vasudev, Lord Vishnu. And while serving Lord Vishnu, because there was some hurt to the false ego, he gave up the service. Same thing again happened in the sixth canto. Lord Vishnu came to Daksha Prajapati. He glorified Daksha Prajapati's devotional service. He said, because you have done tapasya and your goal is to please me, therefore I am very satisfied with you. And he gave the instruction that now what you do, you continue, you know, filling the universe with different living entities. He was supposed to increase the progeny. But when Narad Muni was doing his duty, what was the duty of Daksha Prajapati? Daksha Prajapati's duty was to increase the progeny. And what was Narad Muni's duty? Narad Muni's service was much higher than the service of Daksha Prajapati. But because Daksha Prajapati was identifying himself with his false ego, he could not see that Narad Muni is also engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My duty is to raise the kids. But Narad Muni's duty is to give them the knowledge through which they no more receive material body. He could not see the connection, unfortunately. In the material world also we see, those who are practicing Krishna consciousness, they don't see the connection between the grihastha ashram and the sannyasa ashram. Some people say grihastha ashram is only practical ashram and sannyas is not practical. So therefore, one should not accept the ashram of renunciation. Again, they are only seeing from their point of view, which was the problem of Daksha Prajapati. And therefore, he cursed Narad Muni. The whole goal of Lord Brahma's creation, Lord Vishnu's creation, is that the living entities have to receive material body. And that was the responsibility of Daksha Prajapati, to give material body. But why material body? That was clear by Lord Vishnu. When we receive material body, with this material body we can practice devotional service to the Lord, so that we can no more receive material body in the future birth. But some other Daksha Prajapati could not see this connection because of his false ego, and therefore he cursed Narad Muni. And what was his curse? Again, that identification. If I don't have the palace, I will suffer. Therefore he cursed Narad Muni that you should not be staying in one place more than 3 days. You should become a wandering mendicant. Because you are not learned, you are not educated, therefore I curse you. So he could not see the higher service of Narad Muni. He was only identifying with his own service. This is also a problem in the spiritual circle, that when we only concentrate about our own service, which is also important in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Srila Prabhupada's mission, but if we don't see our service in relationship with other service also, then our situation also becomes like Daksha Prajapati. Therefore, when Lord Vishnu came and glorified Prachetas, what was his reason of glorifying them? Because there was wonderful cooperation between the Prachetas. So one service, if it is not seen with the service of other devotees in a proper spirit, then our bhakti may be done with the intention of pleasing Lord Vishnu, will be either in the mode of ignorance or in the mode of passion. The success is there. Daksha Prajapati had tremendous success in doing his service of increasing the progeny in this material world. There was a tremendous success. But the Shastra says that his bhakti was not pure devotional service. It was the devotional service in the mode of ignorance. So therefore the false ego is the greatest impediment in the path of pure devotional service. Next, the consciousness, identifying ourselves with our own consciousness. Recently Brahat Murdang Prabhu was explaining the difference between Krishna thinking and we thinking. When Krishna is absorbed, what does he do? He does not think about himself. He thinks about his devotee. But our problem is, rather than we thinking about Krishna, we think about our own self. We are conscious of I consciousness. We are not conscious of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we increase material life. But just see, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is his consciousness? He is not conscious about himself. He is conscious of his devotees. He is conscious of his devotees, not that he is conscious about himself. And because we are conscious of ourselves, what does it do? He is haunted by the memories of past. Another problem, that because of our past experiences with some people, we always bring that as an obstacle in our devotional service. Oh, because I had this past experience, therefore I cannot practice devotional service. Oh, because of this past experience, therefore I cannot take up to Krishna consciousness seriously. They are haunted by that. That means we are conscious of our own self of the past. We are conscious of our own self of the present. And we want to be conscious of the future of our own self. So where is the question of becoming Krishna conscious? Krishna consciousness means forgetting of our own self and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as long as these identifications are there, so even though one may be engaged in the service of the Lord, there is always fear that my goal may be diverted from pure devotional service to what? Either false ego, intelligence, mind, material body and life air. Therefore Kapil Muni, while concluding the definition of pure devotional service, he explains, pure devotional service means which is freed from the influence of three modes. And then when we aspire to practice that pure devotional service, and we are willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to practice pure devotional service, then even the aspiring devotee is also as good as a pure devotee. Just see how bhakti is so great. Even the aspiring devotee who is aspiring to become a pure devotee, to practice devotional service, freed from the influence of the three modes, even is not on that level, he is still considered as a pure devotee. Therefore, and Prabhupada said that, somebody asked, how many devotees are there? How many pure devotees are there? Srila Prabhupada asked one of his devotee, how many members are there in our Krishna consciousness movement? He said, as many members are there in this Krishna consciousness movement, that many pure devotees are there. Therefore, we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, either it is Narad Muni, either it is Krishna himself speaking, or either it is Sukadeva Goswami or Parikshit Maharaj, they keep hitting at the goal of life. So that even the smaller goals, which apparently do not disturb our real goal, apparently may cause disturbance in our real goal. The apparent small goals, which apparently do not cause the disturbance in our real goal. But if you are not careful, even the little diversion from the real goal of life may lead to some other goal of life. Therefore, all the time, as Karna knew, Duryodhana knew, but because they were identifying themselves, it was not a problem for Duryodhana to perform big sacrifice. When he became the king, when the goal was fulfilled, then he was very easily worshipping the Supreme Lord in the form of different yajñas. But when there was a conflict between the real goal and his goal, he chose his goal. And this kind of conflict will always come in the life of aspiring devotee. At that time, what will he do? Will he accept the real goal and give up the conflicting goals. Only then our goal remains as it is, the goal of attaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Narada Muni explains here that the goal of Karma Yoga, the goal of Ashtanga Yoga, the goal of Bhakti Yoga is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, keeping that goal in our mind and practicing devotional service as prescribed by the previous acharyas, then the goal is not diverted and the process is also not diverted. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
When the karmis set up any goals, the intensity with which they desire for their goals is often far more intense than the devotees' desire for their goals. Although we know philosophically this is the highest goal. So why is our intensity less and how can we increase the intensity?
Because we have only understood Krishna's goal of life on a theoretical platform. Our conditioning is very strong. But the materialistic people, because they see only one way. Just like because their goal is to enjoy sense gratification, they don't see the consequences of sense gratification. They don't want to see that. The suffering they don't see. They only see the part of enjoyment. Just like Indians are blindly trying to follow the Western culture. What is there? More suffering is there and less enjoyment. But do we see that? We only see the enjoyment part. Because they have experienced that if you have a lot of wealth, then you can enjoy life. But they don't see the consequences of that enjoyment. They don't want to see it. Therefore, the goal is focused. They are not diverted by the miseries. But because we practitioners of devotional service, the sadhakas, we have accepted Krishna as the Supreme Lord, first on the theoretical platform. We have got many questions about Krishna's existence, about Krishna's way of doing things with his devotees and also with the materialistic people. Because our goal is not intense, so naturally we are diverted. But the materialistic people are not like that. Just like we see that sometimes those who are self-made people, those who stand on their own feet, sometimes it is very difficult for them to accept Krishna consciousness philosophy. Because Krishna consciousness philosophy involves that you have to depend on somebody. We are taught the knowledge that bhakti means to depend on Krishna. In fact, offering our independence to Krishna. And the self-made people, they were so independent because nobody was there for them to take shelter of. What kind of culture they've inculcated? The culture they've inculcated is that I have to struggle hard myself. Nobody gave me support. Family members did not give. God did not give. I stood on my own hand, on my own feet. So therefore, it's very difficult. They may be upright moralists, very honest people. But to take the shelter of Krishna is a very difficult task for them. Because they have taught differently. Their goal was independent struggle. But for those who have already learned the art of depending on their parents, so it becomes much easier to take to Krishna consciousness. Yes, there may be less intensity, but still the goal is right. Materialistic people, their intensity may be great, but the goal is wrong. So what is the use of that intensity? Better 1% intensity to the right goal than 100% intensity for the wrong goal. So we are not concerned at this point of time of what kind of intensity we have. We are concerned with right kind of goal. If that goal is there and we associate with the right people who have greater intensity, then slowly, slowly by their association, our intensity will also increase. So we are not impressed. Just like we see the materialistic people, We know as a devotee we are supposed to sacrifice everything for Krishna's cause. Pranayar arthayar diya vacha. For the cause of nationalistic ideas, you know, people are willing to give their lives. I think one freedom fighter asked this question to his followers. And I can offer you only thirst, hunger and death. Are you willing to follow me? He said hundreds of times. Intensity is much greater. And they are willing to, you know, go thirsty, without any food, willing to offer their life many times. But what is the value? Because it's a wrong goal. But here, we may not have that intensity because we lack that conviction and determination, but the goal is right. Therefore, we are on the better path. So, we are not concerned with, yes, we learn the lesson, I should also be as intense as these people for Krishna's sake. Not that I want to be so focused in my goal, I want to learn the art of focusing. But if I don't learn the art of focusing to Krishna, then even though I learn the art of focusing, but Krishna is not involved, then what is the use? Therefore, when people come to attain peace, that is very dangerous. Because other process, whenever there are many kinds of meditation, they actually give you peace. But devotional service, if you don't go beyond that and expect peace as your goal, then it will not work. Because devotional service goes beyond that. It is much higher. So therefore the goal has to be there. Intensity will come in the association of devotees. Just because somebody is more intense in their goal, which is not right goal, we will not change our goal. Because here I can learn the art of, you know, concentration. In the material world, we see sometime in the devotee circle, there are more conflicts. Even in the Bhagavad, there is a conflict between Lord Shiva and Daksha Prajapati. There is a conflict between Narad Muni, who is the greatest devotee, and Daksha Prajapati. There is a conflict in the ninth canto also. So many conflicts are there. And there are people out there in the material world, they can actually help you resolve the conflict to much greater extent. There are forums, different kinds of forums. You know, people have relationship problem, but they can unite people in such a wonderful way, which sometimes devotees can't do. Two devotees may continue to, you know, fight with each other, not talk to each other for the rest of their life. But here in the outside world, you know, they can resolve that conflict within no time. There are some people, there is a one forum. You know, you attend one program and people have seen that the parents, the father and son, they are crying, you know, because there was an enmity between them for 25 years. They become very good husband and wife. Almost divorced. In fact, they are divorced also, but attending that forum, they come together. But what is the goal? Krishna is not there. Therefore, even though they are successful on that platform, but they are failed. But here in devotional service, I ask this question to Maharaj. You know, we see sometime two devotees having a conflict. But he said, at least you should know that the goal is Krishna. This person is also wanting to attain Krishna Prem, and this person also wanting to attain Krishna Prem. So they may have a conflict with each other, but both of their goal is Krishna. Yes, if they can actually resolve the conflict in Krishna consciousness, that is much higher. But if both continue to worship Krishna separately, that is also good. So which is better? That is the point. Yes?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, if we give up our materialistic goals, will the success in this materialistic point of view decrease?
So therefore, materialistic goal may be there because that is your occupational duty and you have to you know, stay in this world and maintain your family, maintain yourself. But we have to follow the principle of Rupa Goswami. Anything which is unfavorable, if that materialistic goal is destroying your real goal of life, if you can, you know, resolve that conflict of having a goal of materialistic life and also spiritual life, then that is okay. Therefore, what devotee does, he does not have two goals, he has got one goal. Krishna consciousness is goal, and seeing his propensity, you know, his spiritual master and seniors will ask him to act accordingly. So then his propensities are also satisfying him, and that propensity is eventually giving him Krishna also. Just like the Pandavas. What was their propensity? Their propensity is to rule. And that was also the propensity of the Kauravas. But because Krishna was involved in the Pandavas, they fulfilling their propensity was not adharma. In fact, there was no difference between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. Both were ambitious people. But because Pandavas involved Krishna, so even though they fulfilled their propensities, because Krishna was involved, that became devotional service. And the Kauravas, they worked very hard to fulfill their propensities, but because Krishna was not involved, they failed. Now one devotee was mentioning, Ravana and Megh, what was his name? The son of Ravan. Meghanath, Indrajit. Both wanted to become immortal. But they could not. And Vibhishan never wanted to be immortal, but he became immortal. He is one of the Chiranjeevs. So therefore, in devotional service, it is not that, okay, this is my private life, material life, and this is my devotional life. That is not devotional service. Devotional service is all occupying. Your family life is also devotional life, your occupational life is also devotional life. So when you understand from that point of view, then there is no question of conflict. You are always acting, keeping Krishna as your goal. There is no two things. When does it conflict? When we make this distinction, okay, this is my private life and this is my devotional life. Then that private life will also hamper my spiritual life. Without I knowing also. I say, okay, this is like this and this is like that. I slowly start compromising my spiritual life. But if I make everything my spiritual life, then there is no problem. And then you get that conviction. Naturally, Krishna will give that conviction that whatever is helpful for my devotional service, I will accept. And whatever is not beneficial for my devotional service, I will reject. And you take great pleasure in rejecting something which is not tangible for your devotional service. And when you look back after some years, this is the how devotees remember, oh, this was always a conflict in my mind, should I accept this or should I accept that? But because I followed the instruction, I feel happy that I did that. Otherwise, my devotional service would have not been so nice. So there is no conflict between two goals. Goal is one, that is Krishna. So anything is helping us to advance in Krishna consciousness, the way our authorities and seniors tell us, this is the way you have to practice devotional service. For some people, their devotional service is doing business. For some people, studying. For some people, full-time preaching Krishna consciousness. According to one's propensity, our guides will engage us in the service of the Lord. But we should be willing to accept the opinion, advice of the guides. When we don't accept the advice of our seniors, when we take devotional service, when we take life in our own hand, then there is no goal left. There is all imagination then. Then the devotional service becomes very tricky. So therefore, the main goal of Krishna consciousness philosophy is that one should practice devotional service under the guidance of an advanced devotee. Then it becomes very easy. It becomes non-confusing. So we'll stop here. ग्रंथरा श्रीमद्भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की